The quest to defend more than just a championship lives right here. New England Patriots coverage on CLNSradio.com. We want to hear from you, so call in right now. The phone lines are open, 929-477-2386. Well, hello once again, Patriots Nation, and welcome to the CLNS Radio Patriots postgame show here on CLNS Radio. We are brought to you today by FanDuel, the number one FanDuel site and fantasy football site on the internet. Check them out. The FanDuel call-in number is 929-477-2386. I am your host, Jeff Kane, at Boston Fat Guy on Twitter. Joining me tonight will be Drew Kennedy. He'll be talking a little bit about the Patriots and their triumphant win, improving to 7-0 on the season. All-around team win. The Patriots win 36-7 against the Miami Dolphins, improving to 7-0 on the season. They looked a little rusty to start, and I'm not going to say rusty, but a little maybe tired, because this Thursday night football thing, I know it makes a lot of money for the NFL, but it was some poor football by both teams and both offenses to start. Patriots go in with a 19-0 halftime lead. In the second half, Dolphins march down the field, make it 19-7. But there, once again, is the New England Patriots to go out and score 36 points on the night. I'm going to bring in Drew Kennedy right now. He's going to talk a little bit about his thoughts on tonight's game.
How you doing, Jeff? How you doing, guys? Great game tonight. As you just said, we started a little slow in the beginning. Only a touchdown on that first drive, that 47-yard touchdown to Gronk, which is awesome, by the way. Rest of the quarter, a little slow. However, I mean, no points allowed in the first half, which was really impressive. I really didn't see Miami coming into this game and struggling offensively. I thought they were coming in on a high the last couple weeks. Lamar Miller is playing really well. So I predicted a lot closer of a game. I think I predicted 31-27 or something like that, much closer game. Turns out, much different game than that, 36-7. Second quarter, 12 points, that weird safety there. It was still slow, even the third quarter, only 3 points. And then the fourth quarter, we kind of pulled it together, got a couple touchdowns there. And, I mean, overall, offense played as well as I predicted. I always predict around 30 points, especially this year. It seems the trend is around 30 points every game or plus. Overall, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, offensive line was struggling a little bit with Wake and Sue, and we handled it pretty well, I thought.
I thought they handled it great. A little bit tough to start this game out. You know, not exactly what we're looking for from the Patriots, especially how the offense stalled many times. Miami, give a lot of credit to the Miami Dolphins defense. They gave a lot of fits to the Patriots offensive line, which again suffered another big injury tonight. Hopefully it's okay with Trey Jackson, but he went out with a knee injury. That's tough because the Patriots only dressed 6 offensive linemen. I thought one of the greatest things I saw on Twitter was former center Dan Copen saying, "This is where Scar would say to us, no one is allowed to get hurt."
I mean, it's rough right now with the offensive line. The Patriots have a little tad bit of the injury bug right now. Obviously, more with the offensive line. Cannon already out and Shaq Mason out. Already a young offensive line, and now all these injuries, it's just making it more and more difficult for the team to operate. And, I mean, Brady is just showing us why he's the greatest. He's getting pressured. He's getting pressure and he's stepping up and making these poised throws like he always has, and he's not afraid of getting hit. And I would thought he would be a little bit more careful today, particularly with Sue and Wake in there. But I saw him step up and make some really nice throws and deliver some really nice bullets to people. And it's rough right now with the offensive line. I'm kind of worried.
I think they'll be all right. I mean, you have Brian Stork coming back after next week. Shaq Mason should be back. Of course, you have Ryan Wendell getting his first real action of the season. He, of course, started at right guard last year for the Super Bowl champions. So you got some good things there. The tackle position is a little tough. Sebastian Vollmer having to start at left tackle, did a decent job in today's game against Oliver. On the right side, you had Cameron Fleming, who, it was rough.
He's going up against Cam Wake,
so I'll give him
that's
that.
That's true. Yeah.
But Marcus Cannon's got to get back and settle in at that left tackle spot and be okay there. But
as long as we're able to have a rotation going, I think we're going to be all set.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens when Stork comes back, what position he or Dave Andrews will play on the line, because Andrews has played phenomenal football up until this point. And Josh Klein, a guy I'm going to give him a lot of credit, because Josh Klein is a guy that, you know, we've kind of gone back and forth in Patriots Nation about this guy. A couple years ago, had a very nice game against the Baltimore Ravens in 2013. When Logan Mankins had to move out to left tackle, and he played very well at left guard, but he has been an unsung hero along with Dave Andrews. The two of them are doing very, very well. Not to bog down on offensive line talk, but I'm impressed with what they've been able to do under Coach Gooch.
And usually when you don't hear a guy's name a whole lot, particularly when they're off offensive line, that's usually a good thing if they're offensive line. I mean, if you don't hear their name, it usually means they're not making too many mistakes. But I agree, he's been playing pretty well. And like I said earlier with the rotation, when we had the rotation going the first couple of games of the year, all these undrafted guys or rookies or whatever, just random guys, they're playing well. I think the rotation is really important in order for our offensive line to operate well. You can see when we only have six active, it's a little more rough. And tonight, I mean, they pulled together, they did okay. I mean, but the rotation is clutch, I think.
It is. Before we get talking about this offense, because that's what, you know, everyone wants to talk about, and how Tom Brady's, you know, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, and what they were able to do with Deion Lewis. I really want to talk about this New England Patriots defense, because I thought this was an awesome game. Drew, you said a lot of it, you know, with what Lamar Miller had done the last two games against the Tennessee Titans, the Houston Texans. I mean, last week, 14 carries, 185 yards. This week, the Patriots absolutely bottled him in. 9 carries for 15 yards.
Averaged 1.7, as long as
and,
8.
You know, I know, I always look at the long, and then I take that out, and I take the one carry out that is the long. And if you think about it, after that, you know, my math isn't always great, but, you know, 8 carries for 7 yards. That's unbelievable. Jonas Gray.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
You know, 2 carries, 1 yard. Yeah, sure, Tannehill threw up 300 yards. A lot of that was in garbage time. But 2 interceptions. They got after the quarterbacks. They did some great things across the defense. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love what they did. Held Miami to 2 of 11 on third downs, 1 of 2 on fourth downs. They were all over the place making sacks. I mean, Chandler Jones right now is playing
out of his mind.
Unbelievable. Oh, my
He's
word.
Arguably the best defensive end in the game right now. I mean,
he is.
Was it 8.5 sacks now?
Yeah, 2 sacks tonight, 6.5 coming into the game, so 8.5 on the season, leading the league. Donta Hightower again coming in with another sack. Devin McCourty a sack, and then Rob Ninkovich gets himself a sack. So
I like to see Nink getting a sack in there tonight.
And definitely love to see Nink. He's been coming around real, real nice the last couple of weeks. Real, real
nice.
Nice
to see him pick it up.
It is nice to see him pick it up. Last week, you saw him getting his big hands up, doing a lot of defending against the pass of Ryan Fitzpatrick. This week, he was getting after the pass a little more, and he's doing pretty well. My co-host on the Patriots Beat podcast, Bobby Kavitsky, talked about, you know, maybe the fact that Jabal Sheard has been hurt. Maybe, you know, the less isn't more with having Rob Ninkovich out there. Maybe he's the guy who needs his motor going. But you can call in right now and talk to us at 929-477-2386 as the FanDuel hotlines are open. After every single Patriots game, after every single Patriots victory, we love to talk about it. We'll talk about it after losses, but I don't feel too many coming this year. Do you, Drew?
I've been looking at the schedule all year, and I know the undefeated talk is, you know, kind of taboo right now. It gets so early on in the season. Well, look at the schedule. I see the Broncos and maybe another division game being only, you know, 2 games that give us a lot of trouble. Broncos defense is great this year, but their offense is not amazing, especially with Peyton not playing at a Peyton level right now. That will probably be our hardest game because it's in Denver, mind you. And maybe late in the season to Miami, maybe like the last game of the year or something like that. And maybe the Giants, like you and I talked about earlier.
Yeah, the Giants game, I don't know what it is. It still scares me. Maybe it's, 42 and 46 that, still scare me. And even in 2011, how they came in here and won. For some reason, Eli Manning has, he becomes the anti-brother, the anti-Peyton, and plays great against the Patriots. I think that's, especially the fact that it's down, at the new Meadowlands, I think that's probably one of the hardest games the Patriots are going to have this season coming up. But again, Patriots are victorious today, 36-7, an absolute shellacking of the Miami Dolphins. Now they get 10 days off before they have to take over the lowly Washington Redskins. As much as I can't stand Thursday Night Football and how I think the football is sloppy, the Patriots are going to be rested and coming out ready to go against Washington.
That 10 days is going to help the offensive line, like we were talking about, quite a bit. Maybe you can get Cannon back. Shaq Mason, I think he'll be back. And then who left today? I forget his name already.
Trey
Jackson should be back. Yeah, he should be back too. So, I mean, like I said earlier, if we have that rotation going, I think we're going to be in good shape.
I can't agree with you more. I mean, I just kind of keep wanting to talk about this defense right now because we talk so much about the New England Patriots offense. And again, scoring 30.
It's hard not to.
yeah, it's scoring 34 points, and they get the safety, of course, with the defense. But I'm looking at this defense. Logan Ryan, he is really playing above his head right now. He has done extremely well. This
kind of the unsung hero there in the secondary.
Really done well. I mean, everyone kind of looks at, it's funny, the tale of two cornerbacks. You got Malcolm Butler, who a lot of people are miscasting as a shutdown cornerback right now. He's getting his growing pains. He's really, just made his seventh start in the NFL right now. You look back at that one amazing play, really an amazing second half and last drive for Malcolm Butler against the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And everyone expects so much out of him. And he does well. He just doesn't, he's not always in perfect position, but he tries hard and he plays hard and he's growing. But Logan Ryan now, in his third year out of Rutgers, really doing some nice things. And they stuck him all over the place, and he did extremely, extremely well. Rashid Matthews, 7 catches, 62 yards, only 9 yards a catch. That's pretty dang good if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the unsung hero in that secondary right now. Logan Ryan, sorry. And Butler, I mean, I never had too high expectations for him coming into the season, given his background, and also given the fact that everyone was going to be, have all this pressure on him because he did make that amazing play in the Super Bowl. I mean, I know Billy in our Patriots beat team really isn't a big fan of the guy, but I don't think he's really not a fan of the guy. But
I never find something wrong with a DJ.
Yeah, he can be a little cynical, but he's got a good football mind.
I love Billy Wyatt, but this is one thing I got to talk. Billy Wyatt, somewhere along the line, he caught the Felger. And if you catch the disease known as the Felger, you can't get rid of it. You're automatically cynical. You think the world's falling and the Patriots are cheaters and all that stuff. Love you, Billy, but, that's how I feel sometimes with you, buddy.
But all joking aside, I mean, Butler's playing about where he should be. It's his second season. It's his first time starting. He's only started 7 games. I don't think he can go anywhere but up right now. And he's only going to get better working the Patriots system. And, I mean, I never really saw him being amazing. And I'm not too disappointed with him. I don't think he's number one. I don't think he's necessarily a great – he can be number two. I think he can have a niche as a number two cornerback.
See, I think the sky's the limit for this kid. I think he can really be – I think he could be a very good number two. I also think he could become a superstar. He's grounded. That play that he made in the Super Bowl really didn't change him, as Bill Belichick said. He is in position on a lot of these plays. He's just missing here or there. And it's not like, he got lit up today like he did. He had a very bad week last week against Eric Decker. You know, and that was a tough assignment for him. No help over the top. Decker really, you know, it is going to happen, and it shows the fortitude and what Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia think of this kid when they allow him to chase around Eric Decker with no help, and then they shut down a guy like a guy like Brandon Marshall last week. This week, the Patriots, their defense, it was set up to stop Lamar Miller. That they looked at what the Dolphins have done under Dan Campbell and how they've tried to reestablish this running game, and they have the last 2 weeks. And again, I can't help but just be impressed with the fact that they held Miami to 15 rushing yards. 15 rushing yards.
Our defensive line is playing out of their mind right now. And it's our deepest position, too. And
it really is.
And we see all these names here. Jamie Collins, Chandler Jones, Donta Hightower, Rob Ninkovich. Now Freeney is playing. He's doing a pretty good job. I mean, our defense is our pass rush, our defensive line is looking great. And our secondary, I mean, has been rough this year, but they played a really good game today, all things considered.
They played a very good game today. I love to see what the Patriots did. They dialed it up a little bit here against Ryan Tannehill, made him get out of the pocket, made him uncomfortable. We saw safety blitzes out of Patrick Chung. We saw safety blitzes out of Devin McCourty. You know, McCourty with a sack. You know, really good stuff.
Love to see that.
The one thing that I got to talk about that impressed me as much as I've seen any New England Patriots defense impress me over the last 12, 15 years was after the touchdown. I think it was the touchdown or the field goal that made it 22-7. There was the long kickoff return by Landry that got him to the 50-yard line. And it was back-to-back sacks by the Patriots. I mean, they just got after it. I mean, it was unreal.
One was by Hightower, right?
Yeah, one was by Hightower. I think the other one was by Jones. And, you know, I guess there must be – there's going to be a rule put in, you know, that you can only have so many players from the 2012 team draft playing on your team. So, but
man,
really impressed with it.
We're going to be investigated for, like, too many sacks or something crazy like that next. I don't know.
Unbelievable the difference that what the Patriots have done this year. Last year they had, of course, you know, the unbelievable shutdown cornerbacks in Darrell Revis and Brandon Brown are being able to be that big stuck up man. Kyle Arrington, they've rebuilt on the fly and they've rebuilt this defensive front to be very active in getting after the passer, and it works. It's really working for this team right now.
Even with like a quarterback like Ryan Tannehill, you see him step up, or not really step up, but run up and make some great throws on the run. He has the ability to do that. But, I mean, you can't do that every single time. And pressuring the quarterback is the number one way, I think, cause interceptions. You can have great coverage all day, but if he has time to sit in the pocket and really get in a groove and start putting some good throws together, I mean, they are NFL quarterbacks, and I mean, if you're not pressuring him, it's gonna happen. You're gonna make some throws, but the pressuring the quarterback, I think, is number one way to cause turnovers.
Oh, you're 100% right. You know, it's funny because a lot of people think about sacks, and the Patriots are up in the upper echelon of sacks this year, but the pressures have been there as well. The pressures are definitely there,
QB hits.
Yep, and
we have 10
I've gone
tonight.
On. Yeah, unreal, unbelievable. And I've gone on record talking about sacks being fascist and the fact that, you know, in Super Bowl 48 against the Denver Broncos, Seattle was all over the place, but they only sacked Peyton Manning once. So there's lots of different ways you can play defense. And sure, if you can have a shutdown cornerback like Revis or a shutdown cornerback like Richard Sherman, it makes things easier. But if you can get after the quarterback and get hurries and get hits and get sacks, you know, things are big time there.
Yeah, I mean, inevitably, they're the one making the throw, and they're the one that's making the play happen. The receiver can only do, you know, a half of the play. This is kind of just basic football, but I mean, if the quarterback's rushed, it's going to cause turnovers. And if you have decent corners, they're going to be there to pick up those bad balls.
You're 100% right.
You want to do a defensive player of the game since we're talking about it right now?
Why not? Let's go defensive player of the game, because I looked at it. On Patriots beat on actually that released yesterday morning or this morning we released it, and you know, quick turnaround, so you know, not a whole lot of talk of time there, but I thought it was going to be Dominic Easley. Again, thought Easley played a good game, but my defensive player of the game is none other than Chandler Jones. I think he owned this game.
Yeah, Chandler, it's hard to argue with that. Two sacks, now 8.5 on the year, four tackles, two QB hits. That's a good game. I was going to say McCourty, but now that I see Jones' stat, I might have to agree with you. But I'm going to say McCourty just to be different than you.
No, you could say McCourty. I still think he's the second best Rutgers safety we got on the team because I love what Ron Harmon brings. That interception that he had was top 10 material.
That was a great catch. That was a great catch. I think that was underrated too. Because I mean, it's not like he, you know, had to fight some guy for the catch, but he had to dive quite a far away. That's hard.
He laid
to
out.
Especially nowadays when they review every single centimeter of the ground and the ball and if it touched or not, if he had full control throughout it. Like that's nowadays all of that is just so over reviewed and be able to make a catch like that late in the game like that. That was great.
A phenomenal play by Daron Harmon. But, yeah, Chandler Jones, my player of the game. Dont'a Hightower, too. I mean, I can't say enough about this kid. He's really –
so many studs tonight.
Oh, unbelievable. Across the board for this defense. So, so impressed. You know, especially what they were able to do on a short week against an offense that was very hot. I mean, coming into this game, Ryan Tannehill over the – his previous two games had set the NFL record for completion passes in a row with 25, was 18 of 19 last week, and really should have been 19 of 19 had it not bounced off his receiver's hands. This is a guy that did extremely well against a Texans defense that everyone thought was going to be very good this year. The Patriots outclassed the Bums.
Yeah, what happened to that Houston defense? Well, I thought it was going to be the best defense in the league, and seeing what Miami's offense did last week to them made me think that they could do something similar to us. Not quite, you know, 44 points or whatever, but I thought I really thought Miami's offense would play a lot better. And I don't know if they didn't play as well as they could, or if I think is New England's defense has played much better than their offense could ever play.
Oh yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I can't say enough about how great I thought this defense was today. I really thought it was awesome. And, you know, as rusty, not rusty, but as lackadaisical out of the box and really inconsistent as the Patriots offense was in the first half, the defense was on its point.
0 points in the first half. And then, you know, only 7 points in the whole game. Can't ask for anything more than that, really.
No, you can't ask for anything more than that at all. Give us a second now. We're going to just take our first break of the podcast.
Cruise back to the 80s on the first ever 80s cruise. That's right. 7 days of the most radical party to ever hit the high seas with a totally awesome lineup of artists that define the sound of the decade. Join Huey Lewis in the News, Richard Marx, Starship, Kool and the Gang, A Flock of Seagulls, Modern English, Naked Eyes, Tiffany, Wang Chung, and Jessie's Girl, the ultimate 80s party band, and the original MTV VJs, Nina Blackwood, Mark Goodman, and Alan Hunter. As we cruise to exotic ports of call like Grand Turk, San Juan, St. Thomas, and the private island of Half Moon Key, we're going all out by building an 80s video game arcade with Donkey Kong, Mario Brothers, and of course Pac-Man, showing movies like Ferris Bueller and Pretty in Pink, and there'll even be a VJ contest. Don't forget to pack your best 80s looks because we're having a prom night, a movie costume party, pajama party, and neon beach party. You can't miss this. Sailing from February 28th through March 6th, 2016 for the most gnarly vacation ever. For more information, log on to the80scruise.com or call 844-384-8080.
And welcome back to the Patriots post-game show here on the CLNS Radio Network. I'm your host, Jeff Kane, here with Drew Kennedy. We are brought to you today by FanDuel, and I'm telling you right now, FanDuel is absolutely excellent. FanDuel is the leader in one-week fantasy football. The money is real. They are paying out an expected $2 billion this year. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back on Sunday and watch your team win. Entries fees start at just $1. Anyone can play. Think you know football? Come prove it at FanDuel.com. I'm telling you, Patriots had a big game here on FanDuel. And you know what? You know what else is happening right now on FanDuel? Yeah, that's right. They've started up fantasy basketball. And why wouldn't you like a little
Ooh.
Fantasy basketball? You know, I mean, I'm not a huge fantasy basketball guy, but I'm going to try it on FanDuel because it's easy. You just sign up and you go there. It's one day fantasy basketball leagues for real money with immediate cash payouts. Pick a team of 9 players, 2 point guards, 2 shooting guards, 2 strong small forwards, 2 power forwards, and a center with just players from tonight's game. Payouts will be in your account the next morning. Play every day or whenever you want. League start at just $1. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use my code word, Celtics, even though this is the Patriots Beat Show, and sign up now. Plus, right now I have a special offer for my listeners. Sign up today and FanDuel will match your first deposit dollar for a dollar up to $200. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use my code word, Celtics. Don't forget to use my code word, Celtics, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Talking a little fantasy basketball, as basketball season kicked off the other night. But, of course, it's fantasy football here. And the Patriots, oh, my word, did they put up some fantasy football numbers. Let's talk about this offense because, Drew, Tom Brady is playing at another level. This is the best I've seen Tom Brady play.
I'm really enjoying this big FU tour right now. That's a big FU tour to the NFL, and I'm loving every second of it.
It's huge. It's a huge FU tour right now. And he is playing otherworldly right now. I mean, as great as the 2007 season was, and I don't think – I'm going to tell you guys right now, I don't think the Patriots are going undefeated this year. I don't think Tom Brady is going
Boo.
To I know, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Tom Brady's going to, you know, eclipse 50 passing touchdowns this year. He might, but, I mean, he's got 20 through 7 games, so – you know, quick math, you know, that's just under three a game. So we're talking 46, 48 touchdown passes. I mean, it could happen.
He's at 20 right now.
Yeah, 20 touchdown passes on the season, 1 interception. And that interception.
Whether or not we go undefeated or he throws more than 50, I don't think that matters. He's getting W's, and that's what matters. And he has 20 in the season right now, most in the league right now. And I think how many yards do you have tonight? It's
356.
Add that to 2054. He's at, you know, 2400 now. That's unbelievable. That's right where Rivers is, and Rivers is slinging the ball. So,
and Rivers has a 500 yard game underneath him.
And he has 7 interceptions.
I know. I can't believe what Brady's doing right now. But let's talk about his receivers, because Rob Gronkowski is just sick. This guy is insane. 6 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. The 47-yard touchdown that went for the first touchdown of the game was just absolutely beautiful, going down the sidelines.
Textbook.
Give it up
Textbook.
For Brandon LaFell for a heck of a block. But that was absolute textbook. We all know about Rob Gronkowski, but let's give it to the little man, Deion Lewis. 6 catches, 93 yards, and a touchdown. 5 carries for 19 yards. He was everywhere tonight. I mean, he got things started on a 3rd and 16, picking up 17 yards on a screen game. I mean, the screen game to the running backs has been missing out of this Patriots offense since Danny Woodhead. As much as I loved Shane Vereen, I thought he was great. Shane Vereen was not a very good screen back, not at all. Not a very good drawback.
He couldn't move like Deion Lewis can move. And the way
Lewis
moves, it makes your jaw drop. I just look at my friends and saying, this guy is legit. He knows what he's doing for a yak. He knows how to get yak.
You're 100%. He knows how to get the yak, you know, and not after too many beers yak. We're talking yards after catch here. But this kid, oh, man, this kid is just unreal. And, you know, we saw the difference in this offense last week without him there. No disrespect to James White, because James White came in and played a pretty decent game against the New York Jets.
He's dependable. He's dependable.
He's dependable.
He's no Deion Lewis.
No, he's not a Deion Lewis right now. And I thought he was going to be the third down back this year, but he's not. But last week against the Jets, he did very well in pass protection, which is all you can ask for when Deion Lewis was out. Lewis came into this game and absolutely owned it. I mean, the touchdown catch was phenomenal. The screen pass was unreal. He picks up the blitz well. You can line him up in the slot, and he just catches the ball. You're going to knock him.
He's running big routes out in the field. I mean, he can do it all, and you really couldn't ask for anything more from a random guy.
Yeah, and the only thing you could have asked for is the pass down the sidelines. If he was able to corral that in, he just missed that. Otherwise, that's going for six. And props to Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio for signing this guy early to a 2-year deal. And you can't stop but give props to Michael Lombardi, who, you know, whispered in Bill Belichick's ear to, you know, sign this guy to a futures contract last year. This kid is having a phenomenal year, as good of a year as I can remember a Patriots catching.
Absolute sleeper in fantasy. I know I have a lot of friends in different leagues, and he was on a lot of people's benches this week because they didn't know if he was going to play a lot tonight. And he was a big upset tonight. He made a lot of people pretty frustrated that they didn't start him. But I did someone screenshot and put on Twitter. They had Brady, they had Gronkowski, and they had Deion Lewis all in their starting lineup. And that must have been quite a Patsgasm tonight, as you would say, Jeff.
Oh, yeah. And, on my one-day fantasy football league, I'm looking pretty good going into Sunday's game because I did have Tom Brady, I did have Deion Lewis, and I did have Rob Gronkowski.
I have him in three fantasy leagues, and that was fun to watch. That last touchdown was like, you know, icing on the cake.
Yeah, that was beautiful. 7 catches, 81 yards, 2 touchdowns. Little pinball that Julian Edelman is. He's
a good word for
it. Just phenomenal. Brandon LaFell came out today, made some nice catches. They got him started early.
I was happy with that.
Go ahead. You were a little down on the bubble screens.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I think it was 2nd and 16, and we threw the bubble screen to LaFell, and the guy just came off foot surgery. And that play didn't make any sense to me, but some of the guys in the Patriots beat group chat would say maybe he's just trying to get his feet wet, you know, just catch the simple ball, just get the feeling, get the confidence, and maybe he can make some catches later on in the game. And he did. He had a pretty good game. And credit to him, too, because he knows that he had a rough game last week. I think it was 6 drops. And he came up big today with that. But he came up big today and did some of the small things too, which ended up being a touchdown. He made a block. I think it was Rashad Jones or something like that. And that pretty much got Gronkowski a touchdown. I think that guy would have grabbed him, and another guy chasing him would have grabbed Gronkowski down, maybe about the 8-yard line if a fellow didn't make that block. And not on the stat sheet at all, but that's a big time play right there.
No, that is it's not on the stat sheet, but it's a big time play. And having Brandon LaFell out there, and you know, I was one of the guys that said that, you know, they're trying to get his feet wet, trying to get him catching the ball, get him a little confidence out there because he did have a rough game last week. Turns out, you know, he catches four balls on the night for 47 yards. Nothing was better than that 25-yarder down the seam on a play action pass from Brady. Just phenomenal. Danny Amendola, quiet night. 1 catch, 11 yards after rolling in with 15 receptions in the last 2 games. Just goes to show you that this Patriots offense can, you know, do everything, really.
It's pick your poison.
It was.
Our offense.
It is. And I'll be the first to admit, in the first half, I didn't love what I was seeing out of Josh McDaniels. I've been very, very critical of Josh McDaniels' play calling throughout his career in New England. I thought he caught lightning in the bottle last year and did some nice things. I did not like the game plan last week against the Jets, but of course I sit here and talk to you guys on the radio. I'm not coaching, and Josh McDaniels is. Today, a little more balance out of the New England Patriots. Not phenomenal balance, but I like to see the fact that, 38 passes, 26 runs, 26 completions for the Patriots. On the day, 66 total plays, 437 total yards, 342 yards passing, 4 passing touchdowns, 26 carries for 95 yards, 24 first downs. The only thing you can really knock the Patriots for is the fact that they couldn't stay on the field, 3 for 12 on third downs. And most of that was in the first half. Most of that was in the first half because in the second half, they weren't having many third downs. They were getting 10 yards in one or two plays. They were really rolling that second half. But for a team that was averaging about 50%, 3 for 12 against the 3 for 12 against the Miami Dolphins is quite tough, Drew. And I'm again going to blame this on Thursday Night Football. I do not like Thursday Night Football. I think
I'm not really a big fan either.
I understand why they do it.
Someone in the Patriots beat had a good idea. If you're going to have a Thursday night game, you should have a bye week leading up to it. I mean,
exactly.
I forget who it was. I think it might have been Bobby, but
it was Mr. Kravitsky.
Was it? Nice. But I definitely agree. Why wouldn't you have the bye week leading up to that? So you can have that extra rest and more time to get your injured players up to shape. And it doesn't really go with player health and safety policies that Roger Goodell has in the league.
No, it really doesn't. But we're going to get ready to wrap up the show tonight here as it's into Friday morning here. But I'd like to give a huge shout-out to Stephen Gostkowski. This kid had a very hard task being a fourth-round draft pick, coming into the NFL out of Memphis, taking over for a legend, an absolute legend
right.
in the in New England Patriots lore, Adam Vinatieri. I mean, you think about Adam Vinatieri, you think about, game-winning Super Bowl kicks. You think about the snowball.
4 seconds left, like wind blowing in your face. Yeah.
He's
definitely a Patriots legend, but I think he's tied now, 25.
26 straight 26? Field goals. Gostkowski sets
right.
the Patriots record with his 26.
Oh, wow. Right, yeah, he hit that one. Yeah. That's – I said earlier, the Patriots right now have the best quarterback, the best coach, tight end, and the best kicker of all time in their team right now, and it's pretty cool.
I could not agree with you more. Just unbelievable there for the Patriots. Again, the Patriots are victorious tonight by a score of 36-7. Phenomenal night for the New England Patriots. They now get 10 days off before they get back at the Washington Redskins at Gillette Stadium. Going to be very excited to watch that. Drew, any final thoughts before we kick it out of here for the night?
Fun to watch them Thursday night, and I'm glad we have 10 days so that our offensive line can get healthy so we can go out and whoop the Redskins' butts. Go Pats.
I can agree. Go Pats. And, the Patriots will be kicking some ASS for the rest of the season. Let's hope it ends up in Lombardi Trophy number 5. As Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, again, absolutely dominate on offense, scoring 30 points or plus again. For Drew Kennedy, I'm Jeff Kane. This has been the Patriots postgame show. Make sure to tune in next week for the Patriots postgame show after the Washington Redskins visit the New England Patriots. And make sure to listen to Patriots Beat here on the CLNS Radio Network. We'll catch you guys on the flip side.
Internet Sports Talk Radio, CLNS Radio.